that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So I'm gonna vent for a minute.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, so I had a, you know, I won't go too much into details in case they are listening, but, and it's nothing bad, actually. It's just kind of like, it's an interesting situation where I have my question to pose for you. So it's not me complaining about this potential person if they are listening. But so anyway, I went for you can call it an interview or audition or whatever you want. You know, everyone's been through the situation where there's an opportunity and you go for that opportunity again, whether it's an audition or an interview or you're going for something or you're getting an apartment, whatever it is. So anyway, you know, you go through the process. And so, you know, the first one was fairly not informal, but it was, you know, I talked to somebody over the phone and it seemed to go okay, but you just never know because you don't know how many candidates there are. You don't know the situation. So you just kind of say, okay, whatever.
Sure.
So anyway, get a call back from a fairly important person within this organization. And so I meet with this person and that went really well. But again, you don't know, you don't know how many candidates there are. You don't know, you know, again, I could be one amongst 50. I could be one amongst 10. So, you know, thought it went okay, but I didn't put much into it. I just kind of went with it. So then I get another call back and this time I'm going to meet with the big guy, like the top person here. And I find out that I'm one of three candidates. So it's like, okay, so this is pretty good. And this opportunity, not life changing, but it was a pretty solid big opportunity. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So anyway, so I go in to meet now the big guy, and I'm with the second guy too. So I'm with both of them. And it was a situation where I nailed it. Like it was like it was as if I had weeks to plan every question. Like I like in there, in the middle of it, and maybe I'm just wrong, but in the middle of it, like I'm answering questions like, wow, like I'm just nailing it. Like yeah, I got this. Like it was just like, I was so good. Those questions, I was on. Everything I answered was perfect. Maybe it was too perfect. And so I was just like, all right, I got this. I'm one of three people and I'm pretty, I'm aware of my own weaknesses and faults, but I'm pretty confident generally I think I'm confident when I should be. And I was very confident that I was like, oh, I nailed this. Like there's just too many variables that were going my way for this not to work. But it's been pretty much a month and I've heard nothing. So I was like, oh, that sucks. So my question for you is, have you ever had a situation where like you thought you nailed something, like whether it was like a date or like or an interview or something where it's like I nobody's gonna beat me on this, and then you just don't get it?
Yeah, of course.
Like
it just happens. I've definitely had dates where I thought, oh, this is great. I might even had a date where we might have kissed at the end, and it was like, oh. Yeah, I think we're just not right for each other. I've had, job stuff where I turned up and I played great, or I just everything went awesome, and I showed people everything, and I like, you know, seemingly thought I blew everyone's minds, and just, oh, we're, you know, this is, yeah, I can't do this right now, and yeah. It's just happened, or no response.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's like I'm sure I've had situations where I was confident about things, but nothing where I was so sure that I'd done that well. I've had times where I thought I'd done terribly, as we've all had, where you think you did terribly on something and then you find out like you got it or they liked what you did. But this is one of those times where I was like almost too confident. But then you know it's like in hindsight, there were two things that happened that I should have. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I totally
when
ignored
when you think
them.
About it. You, but see, that, was a like, lot of that is you not thinking about the things that went wrong.
So the thing is, like, the first thing I realized is towards the middle to the end of my meeting with the two, the top guy, he seemed. I don't know, like almost disinterested.
Okay.
Like, and then he was like looking at his watch, and it was almost like, okay, did maybe they had somebody? Because it was almost like he just wanted me out of there. So it was like, okay, what was I missing? Like, what didn't connect? Because in the beginning, it seemed, you know, and I guess he seemed a little cynical. Something was off, and I couldn't tell if it was like a cultural, like a he's not from here, so maybe it was like just a difference in culture, or you know how he expresses himself, but just something, there was a bit of a disconnect and I wasn't sure. So there was that. And then the other thing was the other guy had asked me, hey, would you be interested in something else that was not related to what I was the thing I was talking to them about? And that also, in hindsight, I was like, wait, why would they be asking me about an alternative thing? So, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, well, maybe they had somebody who blew them away even more, and that they pretty much had a decision made, and they were just meeting with me because I was on the schedule, but that they had a decision made. But that, like, in hindsight, I was like, huh, maybe that, I mean, maybe there's something.
Did they have someone who blew them away more? It's like, it's almost, you almost think that it's hard to imagine that, yeah, that there's someone who blew them away more, but maybe they had just already had their decision made.
Exactly.
And that nothing that anyone else could have done,
because
someone fit into whatever they had, whatever their idea was.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, for the reason, so I guess it's interesting. It goes into,
now I know you're going to think that, well, maybe I did too well. No. Like, and I came across as a salesman in my answers. I don't believe that. If you're thinking that, I don't believe that to be true.
I don't think I came across as a salesman because, well, maybe I did.
I don't believe
because
to be true.
The thing he offered me was, "Hey, would you? How do you like sales?" I was like,
"That's
hilarious. I don't like sales."
That's hilarious.
But so maybe I did, but no, I don't think. I think what it was is that there were reasons why I answered so well. You know, I'm good one-on-one when I need to be, and I had certain skills and background. I had certain skills that sounded really good. And that made for good answers. But it's very, very well within the realm of possibility that there were people that were just better suited for it, that had more experience specifically for that. So I think that might, you know, again, it's like, it was one of the things where I was like, I thought I nailed it. But yeah, I mean, there could have been three other people who thought they nailed it too. So it's just, but it was just like, I was like, but then also the other thing, a little frustrating is that, and the only negative I would say, because they were very nice and very, very great. And I actually do, you know, believe in this thing that they're doing. It's actually a really cool thing. So I hope that they are successful. But I didn't even get a call back to say, like, hey, and there are reasons why I'm pretty sure I won't. Like, it was very time sensitive. And so if I didn't hear back now, I'm pretty sure I won't, at least now. I mean, maybe at some point. But just one event about that.
Well, I'll tell you what this reminds me of. When I finished my internship at National Guitar Workshop, which is now defunct, although I actually really liked the owner, although I didn't like the administration there, but the owner was actually really nice. But he had nothing to do with the hiring or anything like that. So I don't wish them ill will because of them, but the administration, you know, they get my middle finger because, you know, I just didn't like their attitude. At the end of my grading system, where they ask the students, my grades were of the highest. They were so high, right? I had so many students that loved me and followed me around and requested me. And it's like anyone could have seen that.
Yeah.
But I think that there was like a couple incidents that got misunderstood. Like the administration, they were the worst.
Yeah.
Right? They sort of didn't respect us. We did a ton of work for really no money, and they like treated us like children, basically.
Yeah.
And we were adults, we were teachers there, we were doing their job, right? And I did it really well. Like, people loved us, they learned so much. And I think there was one incident where I sort of got frustrated and I walked out of the room and like a chair flew, so they thought that I threw a chair. It's like, no, anyone knows me, I didn't throw a chair.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, you threw it. So they might have based my decision to, oh, basically I didn't get a call back. I didn't get rehired by them, which actually wound up to be a blessing in the long term. But it was sort of disconcerting. It's like, wait, I did such awesome work for them.
Yeah.
I was one of the best players. I was by far the best teacher. It would have been so good for them in so many ways. And maybe I didn't kiss enough ass. Maybe I wasn't in there schmoozing enough. Yeah. So who knows? But based on my merit, I was better than anyone. Like, I knew it. And instead, they wound up choosing people that were, or they chose one guy that was, he was older. Maybe I was a little young too. He was older, but he was so boring. He was awful. Why did they go with him? Maybe because he schmoozed all the time. Maybe they thought he would be older, so he'd be more responsible.
Yeah.
It was just, they made arbitrary decisions based on lack of their lack of information, and they just were wrong. And who knows, maybe that's eventually why the place folded, because they didn't have the right teachers.
Yeah.
So
actually, now I'll tell you, there's and this guy is such a dick that I hope he hears the podcast, because I really didn't like that. So you know, there's a YMCA I'm at that I teach group fitness classes, and I work with different types of programming. So there was this one program that they were starting. It was called the YMVP program, where they were trying. The goal of the program was to get, the goal was to get disadvantaged youth into this. It was a free program for kids, to get into exercise and get them into fitness. The Y does a lot of really good work, and I really, really yeah. like being there. You know, it's like one of those jobs where I'm not there because I get paid well, because I don't get paid well, but I enjoy the organization and I enjoy being there. So I am happy to give my time, and I've been there a long time, and again, I like working there. My manager there, he knows that I take on programs. I'm good with kids. I'm probably one of the most experienced trainers there. So he asked me if I'd be interested in doing this. So I said, yeah, sure. I'll meet with the guy that's running the program. So I go in to meet with the guy that's running the program, and he was the biggest just douchebag. I forget the guy's name. And again, I don't care if he listens, because he's just such an ass. And he comes on, he's talking to me. And so now I was asked to do the interview, and he's I didn't know much about the program. No one told me or sent me any information, so I thought I was there to learn and talk to him. But he was approaching it as an interview, and that he was insulted that I didn't do the research, and he was so condescending, and we got into like this kind of pissing match at some point, because it was really uncomfortable, because it's me, him, my manager, and then the director of the department that I would be running this program.
And your manager didn't go to bat and say,
well, I can be aggressive when I have to be, so I basically was just aggressive back with him, and we just went back and forth, and he was just condescending and an ass about it. And he wouldn't let go of the fact that I didn't do my research on the program. And he's like, well, if you'd done the research on the program, you'd know this. And if you did that. And so as soon as that interview was, as soon as that meeting or interview was over, I left. I told my manager, like, I'm done. I'm not interested. And he's like, well, no. And the guy's kind of, he doesn't have the best, he's not the best communicator, but we'd really, and I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm not dealing with that guy. That guy's a douchebag. And, oh, sorry. The reason why I got, sorry, is that program it failed.
Yeah,
and there were a number of reasons why it failed. And I don't know if they're restarting it or what they're trying with it, but it was a failure because things that he just didn't take into account, and he sucked at his job. And I was happy to see, I'm not happy for because I know the guy who ended up running it is a good guy and a good trainer. And I don't want to see people lose hours, but that guy's a dick. So I hope he got fired, or at least, he got his ass handed to him, because he ran a failure of a program. Because he's an idiot, and it was a good program. And that's the other thing is
had potential.
So here's a program for disadvantaged kids, and who ended up taking the class? All the kids were very well off. So you have, we're in a gym where you have a lot of families that are very well off. So the people that were taking it were not their target. Their target were kids that were at risk, and they ended up with all these kids who were going to private school, and the parents could afford to send them to crazy programming in the gym. And no, so the guy's just an idiot.
Unqualified gets, or someone who doesn't know anything, just for whatever reason, finds himself. We know about that.
Yeah, we see
with
that all the time.
With it, when we had an interview with a particular company that was looking for people
to do podcast work.
So-called person who was in charge. Charged, didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. But
don't. I'm like shoving Justin away from the mic. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
The one question is, why did this guy, when you told him, oh, I didn't realize that I was supposed to do research, no one was ever, why did he keep harping on that?
Because he's a dick. That's why.
And he was just full of himself that he thought that you were going to do. That's the classic entitlement that we talk
about.
Like, this guy that you were going to take your time to do research on his thing?
Yeah. It was a program. So there was a miscommunication. Like in his mind, it was more of an interview. And in my mind, it was, we're meeting to talk about this program. So I think that he took himself and his program so seriously. So now, a reasonable person sees this. And if right off the bat you see, okay, wait, he doesn't really know about the program. Let me explain what the program is. And we'll just go from there. Let me see if this guy's a good person. And maybe it was just a miscommunication, or maybe he's just not doing his research. So once you realize there's a miscommunication, it doesn't make sense to harp on it. If you don't if I'm meeting you for something and I realize that there's some disconnect, then you know what? We go our separate ways. But to harp on any, it just doesn't make sense to harp on something if you're not going to get anywhere. So that was the thing that didn't make sense with this guy.
You expected someone to do research project.
If he considered it an interview, it's absolutely fair.
It's clear that it wasn't. Like, it's absolutely know that after fair. 2 seconds
It's fair in hindsight in that situation. I'll give him that. He thought it was more of an interview, and I can see there was.
Why didn't your manager go to bat and say, "Oh, he was never informed that he was supposed to do this"?
Didn't matter, because I was going to bat for myself. Like, at this point, it was funny because it was just tense, and like, again, there was four of us, and the other two were just sitting there like watching, like, "Oh crap, this is uncomfortable," because we were just going back and forth. But again, it was just like him. Once you realize that you're not on the same page, it doesn't make sense to harp on it. Even if let's say I made the mistake and I should have been prepared for an interview. It's done. So you go with it. And if you think, okay, well, if this guy's not prepared enough to be ready for the interview, I'm just not going to, offer him that position, then that's fine. But to harp on it like that just made no sense. It was just him. He just wanted to be condescending and just felt like, I guess he was insulted that I didn't take that extra time to look at his program. But again, here's the other thing, actually, is that the program had morphed over time. So there's another part.
Anyone
listening to this, when I vent, I get. Oh. No, but I'm realizing when they initially told me about the program, it was months before and it was a completely different program. So what I knew the program to be was something different. So when I went into the interview, I remember that now. I referenced what I thought the program was, not from before and not what it had morphed into. And so he was just mad, upset that I hadn't gone through with figuring out what else but at this point it's like, well, let me hear from the source. But he obviously, it upset him that I didn't do it. So, I was like, I'm not doing it for this guy. This guy's an ass. And it's like, I don't know if he's still with the company or with the Y, because the Y, I think he was like in the corporate area, but I hope he's not, because he was just, or I hope he is, and I hope he hears the podcast, because he's just a terrible human being.
So it's funny, because I've actually been in his position before, where the person coming in was supposed to have done research, was supposed to have been prepared, and the person was informed of that, but just never did it, and I knew that it was because of laziness. But I didn't harp on it. You could say I was a little upset. So what I did was I made it up in my mind, okay, this person's not going to get the job, but I wasn't mean to them. I was like, okay, I'm just going to show them sort of what it is and make it quick and just be respectable, and then bid the person an adieu, and that was it, and I never called.
We went through this as recently. Like, we had to hire somebody to help for our podcast, and I got a bunch of responses back for the thing that we needed, and once I sent out the email to people saying, hey, this is our podcast, this is our situation, then I have an expectation that, hey, they'll at least check it out and know what we're in. You don't need to listen to every episode, but maybe know that we're a fitness podcast, listen to a couple minutes of it. And so I did talk to a couple people. I talked to about five or six people, and a couple of them had no idea what it was beyond like the name of the podcast, and it was like, one person I don't even knew that. But yeah, it's like, I'm not gonna harp on it. It's like, all right, I can tell. All right, I get it. You didn't take the time to look for it. That's fine.
That's your audition.
I mean, and for what I'm looking for, there's a certain thing. At the end of the day, for that, there's certain things you can't tell me if you don't know what kind of a podcast we are. Like, you can't, So
it also speaks volumes. If the type of person that we want to hire, we don't have to tell. We wouldn't have to tell to do the research on the thing that you're doing it on. I often call people, or give people calls or send them emails. Like, if I find someone on Craigslist or this or that for a job, and I'll always reference what they're doing, who they are, and try to discuss something to let them know that I actually care about what they're doing. I think that's very
very important. The worst is because I use Craigslist if I need, like, when I go away, if I need dog sitting, or for this position we actually posted on Craigslist. And the worst is when you get people that respond just like, call me. It's like, well, really? Like, you almost like do you really expect, like, does that work? Does that, because at the end of the day, so many people are going to respond to that post. Anytime I post a job or something I need on Craigslist, like, I get a tons of responses, so you have to stand out. So obviously you need to show that, I don't know, we're going on a bit of a tangent. We have an episode to talk about. But yeah, it was just, wow, it's interesting how we went from me venting to me then venting again about it.
Yep. Well, usually it's me who's ranting and venting, yeah. but every once in a while, Ryan goes on one of his rants.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, for today, luckily we don't have a ton, like a gigantic episode. So this one we'll get through pretty quickly. So anyone who is listening, if it's on your commute, you should be finished by the end of your commute, I hope, if you have like a 40 to 45 minute commute. So anyway, simple episode today. We're going to talk about some ways to change up your strength training routine. So it's just, let's say most people kind of do the standard kind of, single set. You do an exercise, you do your 10, 12 reps or 8, 12 reps. You rest, you do some more reps. So these are just a bunch of ideas. Some are just common, known throughout. Some are maybe you haven't heard of, some you have, or just different ways to do your strength training to kind of just change things up and make it a little bit different. So very simple, but it's ways to kind of keep things from getting too boring and maybe, see some results. Because some of these changes, even myself, like I've noticed results doing some of these different styles that maybe you wouldn't have expected. So.
Yep. So now we know that the most common ways to change your strength training routine is to either add more weight to your exercises or more repetitions.
Or to change the actual movement. So let's say if you're working your chest, you can do different exercises. Yes. You can add more weight, you can add more reps. So we're going to say those are your common changes. So we're not going to really talk much about those kinds of changes unless it's part of a different type of program. So those are ways you could do it, but we're talking about just different routines to go with. Yes. So what's the first one?
All right, so the first one is a superset.
Yes.
Now, I always confuse this with a drop set.
Okay,
which is
another one on the list.
Yes. So when you superset, what are you doing?
Supersets typically are doing two exercises back to back.
Two exercises.
So there are some benefits to that. One benefit is it's a little bit cardiovascular because you're not resting. Usually it's with little to no rest in between. Sometimes if you're doing really heavy, you may need a bit of a rest in between, but it's a little bit cardiovascular. It can be efficient. So let's say, commonly when you do supersets, you do opposite or opposing muscle groups. So you would do a pressing movement, combined with a pulling movement. That way, when you're pressing, while you're doing one, the other side is resting. So you kind of, and then you can go right back into it. So, when you do your normal standard single set, you do your set, you rest. You do a set, you rest. So that rest period takes up time. So you just are more efficient. So you can do, theoretically, you could do the same amount of work you would take an hour, you can do in a half hour because you're taking advantage of those rest periods. So that's one advantage of doing supersets.
So now, when you do a superset, you say you do opposing muscle groups. So now you wouldn't want to do, say, like if you do the dumbbell lifts, what are these called?
Lateral raises.
For shoulders. So to superset that with, say, incline upright rows.
Okay, so
like to do the same muscle.
There are a couple different ways. So typically you would do either, for supersets, you'd either do opposing muscle groups or you could do it like an upper body exercise and then a lower body exercise, which I like to do because even like, let's say if I'm doing a bicep curl and a triceps push down, so they're opposing groups, but when you do a biceps curl, your triceps are still working. They're working to decelerate the weight and the triceps are still working. When you're doing the biceps, so even though you're working opposing groups, they're all still working together. So it's better to rest the entire groups. I mean, I tend to think it's better to. So another way to do it is you can do like an upper body and a lower body exercise. You can do an abdominal exercise in the lower body. So you can kind of just go from like upper to lower, or lower to abs, that way. So if you're doing the same group, that's another method. Typically referred to like as a compound set. Uh-huh. So basically it's really a way to like,
on our list.
Yeah, to burn, or you're almost like really fatiguing the muscles more than you typically would. So if you do like a dumbbell press followed by dumbbell flies or something, you're going to, or cable flies, you're going to really work, really burn the muscle because you're not giving it rest and then you're kind of doubly working it. So
now is that better for strength or would that be better for muscle endurance?
Muscle endurance more, okay. And I mean, you can try different things. So that's the other, the other option with it. Again, we talked about, you can increase the reps or you can do heavier weight, so you can play with doing different kinds of workouts. You could do more reps or you could do it with heavier weight, or you could do one heavier weight, one with more reps. You can kind of play with the different how you're doing your reps and your weights, but basically a compound set would be doing a superset but with two exercises you're doing two exercises for the same muscle group instead of doing opposite groups or separate body parts.
Okay, so next, I guess, would be almost an extension of that, which would be doing a circuit.
Yeah. So yeah, a strength circuit can be cool. So circuit training, typically we think of as cardio. You're doing a circuit, a set of exercises. Let's say, it could be 4, it could be up to 10 or 20, where you're doing, and it could be timed or it could be for reps. So you could do like 10 reps of everything, or you could do a minute of everything, or you could do 30 seconds of everything. But basically you have a series of exercises that you do back to back with little to no rest in between. So you might have like 5 or 10 seconds in between each exercise. But the thing with the strength circuit is that you're pretty much sticking with close to your normal weights. So again, it becomes a little more cardiovascular, it's more muscle endurance, and again, it's efficient, it's fun, you can get through it quicker because you're just not resting as much as you would during a normal workout. So a strength circuit is cool. It's just the problem sometimes in a gym is having the space. So you may want to choose a circuit of exercises that you can do all with like one set of dumbbells or all with the cable, so like you can stay in a place, because it's kind of tough to set up like in a gym, in a normal gym, unless you have your own space or you're there at a time where not a lot of people run. It's kind of tough, and it's not good gym etiquette to set up 10 different stations on the fitness floor that you use. So you'd want to stick with exercises and movements that are in a smallish space and that require as little equipment as you can get away with. But just still, with the circuit, it's good to be as close to full body as possible. So you want to get some, opposing groups and lower body, upper body, abs, but you can play with the different things. You may do like just an arm circuit where you're just alternating biceps and triceps movements, or you can do shoulder circuit, or you could do, again, a full body circuit. So you can play with the different moves, but it can be a fun thing to do, and then again, it changes things up, and it's tough. Like I don't do much weight training anymore, and I did a class that was like a circuit class, and it was hard, like a strength circuit where we were doing like, I think it was like 8 stations, and each station was like 45 seconds, but it was like weights that you'd be normally doing. So it was hard, and it was, again, it was some endurance, it was cardio, it was a tough workout.
Okay. So next on the list, we have isolation.
All right, so okay.
Do you mean isometric?
Isolation. Isometric is too, but I actually didn't mention much with isometric. Actually, there's one point where we'll talk about it. So let's say it works two ways. So let's say you do mostly kind of compound movements. You do like the bench press and the squats and deadlifts and the big movements, because a lot of people will look down on like isolation movements, like let's say bicep curls or things that, one joint, like they're not as functional, quote unquote, as other exercises. So people kind of talk down on doing isolation exercises. So if you do a lot of big movements, then maybe change things up and do more isolation movements. Do movements that just focus on one muscle group or one joint movement. The opposite is also true. If you only do, or you focus mostly on exercises that are isolation movements or machines, then try doing things that are more full body. You can build more strength. It is more practical. It's more functional. It can help you. They just require a little bit more fine technique, but go out of your comfort zone with that. So if you stick with mostly machines, do more dumbbells. If you do more dumbbells, try doing some machines. They're not terrible. If you do, only free weights, so mix it up, like mix up the kinds of exercises you're doing. And that's another good way to change it, because it's just you're working different groups, you're working different systems, and it's good to kind of change things up that way too if you want to change up your strength training routine.
So, all right.
You brought this one up. So,
So this one I like to do, and it's to use different types of weights, or different types of resistance. So you could add bands or chains. So it makes it feel different. Like, so let's say you're doing a shoulder press. You could put chains on it instead, these sort of weight chains. It feels different, like the way you have to balance it. So I guess you would be using different muscles, different stabilizers, and just... Yeah. It's just a different, it's just a variation.
So like a band or chains you'll see a lot of times on squats or bigger new squat racks now will have these little things jutting out at the bottom, and like they have a so sometimes it's like, wait, what are these for? And a lot of times it's to hook a band around. So basically bands add what's called kind of variable resistance. So as the band stretches, it adds more resistance. So when you're doing a squat, let's say with a band hooked onto it, as you lower in the squat, the band, the tension releases, so it's less resistance. As you go up and it stretches, there's more resistance. So something like that, where it adds a little bit to your strength training routine. So you're doing the weight, but then the weight, you also have a band with it. So the band makes things a little bit more challenging. And as you go through the exercise, it becomes harder or more difficult to do. And the same thing can work with chains. So if you squat with a chain and the chain reaches the floor, as it
falls on the floor, it's less resistance because the weight's on the floor. As you extend up, the weight increases. So that's a way to add to your, you know, add to your work. But you'd have to be at a gym that has either you have to go get the bands, or and or you know the gym has to have bands and or chains that you can actually do this.
Well, that actually sort of gives me an idea within this idea. It's to use not strictly the sort of dead weight, or using more dead weight. Yeah. Ideas like maybe a sandbag.
Yeah.
Try to do some sandbag lifts because of the awkward nature. Now, definitely be sure that you're qualified to do this, that you either have the right instruction or that you know how to lift, because you can injure yourself pretty badly lifting awkward objects.
Yeah.
But if you have access to a heavy bag or a sandbag, doing lifts with those are really powerful. Like you could really gain good strength, and it's just a really good functional exercise.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so next one is it's a method of training. I don't know what the name is. I just call it like ISO alternative. So basically, let's say you basically will do an isometric hold with one side while the other side works. So an example would be doing like a lateral raise, right? Both arms out to the side, about parallel to the floor. So you'd start with both arms up. I'm mimicking this right now. And then one arm would do the movement
while you hold
the other arm holds. And then when you finish your reps with one side, you do the other side. So it kind of fatigues the side that's holding. And then, you know, then when the other side's done, then you have to then hold. And then that side that was already kind of pre-fatigued now has to work where it just adds more of a challenge to the movement. So you can do that with the dumbbell press too. Same thing. You hold both arms up, lying down. And then, so obviously in this case, you have to be working with equipment that allows you to use each limb separately. Mm. But again, it's a nice little way to change things up. Where you're holding one side kind of flexed, contracted, and then you work the other side. The only thing to remember with this is if you're doing it, try to be even. So let's say we're doing the lateral raise. If the first set, if my left arm is the one that's holding and I'm using the right arm, then when I do the second set, you want to do the reverse. So then you hold the right arm to start and then you just move the left arm, because it's slightly different. If once one arm starts holding and then moves, it's going to be a different, slightly different effect from the side that starts moving then holds.
Do the equal opposite.
So you want to try to be balanced with that.
Right. So the next one is, we already had mentioned it, it's doing the drop sets, which is when you do one exercise and then you just lower the weight.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very effective with machines or cables where you can just quickly put the, you know, put the little thing in the weights.
Yeah, so yeah, drop sets basically is that you would start with the way I do it, or where I have clients do it, but there are, again, tons of different ways to do it, is the first weight will be fairly close to your normal weight, maybe slightly lighter, depending on the exercise. So you do a normal set with that weight. And then once you're at the point of fatigue or close to it, you would drop the weight down, so you'd lower it, and then you do a little bit lighter weight, and then you do some more reps. And again, you want to get close to your, you know, 8 to 10 reps for the second time. Then you could do a third one if you want. I'll do a third at a really light weight and really fast. But again, you can play with that. You could do a third set at a normal weight, or, you know, slightly lighter, you know, or you can do four drops. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. But it's just a way to, like, you fatigue the muscle and then you lower it just enough that you can keep going. And then you lower it just enough that you can keep going. So it's just, again, another, you know, another different way to work the muscles and fatigue the muscles when you're training. But as Justin mentioned, it's probably better to use, like, something that's quick to change. You know, it's harder to do it with, like, if you're doing a bar, it's hard to change the weights on the bar.
Unless you have two people helping
you.
Yeah,
but even so, it takes a lot of time. So it's better to do that with machines or with cables or with, you know, dumbbells, because you can change those rapidly and go right into the next set.
So the next one we have is a time-based or a Tabata one, where you do a certain exercise or series of exercises based on time.
Yeah, so Tabata is, you can look it up. Like, you know, there's the true Tabata, which not many people are going to do, and then you have modified, which a lot of people do, and I do, where, you know, it tends to be 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off of an exercise, and the goal is usually speed. So when it comes to weight training, the way I do it is I try to get between 15 and 20 reps for every 20 seconds, and you do that over 8 rounds. So the weight's got to be light enough that you can do the 15-20 reps, but not so light that it's easy, but not so heavy that you fatigue, you know, rounds 1 or 2, because you're doing this 8 times 20 seconds with a 10-second break. So I
dude, that's all I do with weights for the most part right now. And I've got, and I, you know, like there's, I have a lot of, I've had a lot of success doing that. And I've had clients that have actually gotten bigger doing that style of a workout. So, it, you know, not, it doesn't work for everybody and kind of have to be kind of the genes for it, but it's a great way to do it. And it, it's hard. You get, you fatigue quickly doing it. And it's a tough workout. And
it's,
you
also
really
very good for cardio.
And also it has that effect of like, you look ripped after, like, you know, you get that pump doing that. So, that's a way to do it. So typically you associate Tabata with, cardio, but I found that, you know, again, it's more anecdotal than anything, but it works great for doing, you know, doing weights. If you want to get a different, you know, weight training workout that's a little bit different from your normal standard thing, you just need a timer, you know, to keep track of it. And like I said, what works best is you don't want to do heavy weight where you're only doing 5 or 6 reps for every 20 seconds. You want to be at about 15 to 20 reps, at least from what I've found, for it to work. So the next thing is like combining an isometric move with whatever you're doing. So you might do, let's say, push-ups is a good example. You do like a set of push-ups and then you just do an isometric hold at the bottom for 10 seconds or 15 seconds. Or you do, you know, again, bicep curls, and same thing at the end, after the last set, you hold, you know, at the middle for, you know, 10, 15 seconds. Again, no science behind it. Just another way to change things up and do something a little bit different, that I found is kind of fun. And again, just adds a little bit of spice to your workout. And then,
all right, so you have something here that says 20 to one.
Yeah. Okay. So that was, what I'll do sometimes is pick two. It's so kind of like a superset, where you'll pick a weight. Let's say what I like doing this is like you do like a triceps push down and a bicep curl on the cable. So you do 20 of the push downs and then you do 20 bicep curls. And then you do 19 push downs and 19 curls and 18 and 18 and 17
some,
and 17.
Some,
and
you just, choose an arbitrary number.
And you just work your way down. And you know, as the weights get easier, you may need to increase the weights.
It's like a variation of a drop set.
Yeah. We've done this too, where you can do this with a partner. What's kind of fun is you do it, like you hand each other the bar. So you do like 20 curls and then you hand the person the bar and then they do 20 and then you do 20. And you're almost competing with each other, because if you could do it fast and then they can't keep up with their endurance, they struggle while you're kind of fresh. But that's one little thing that I'll do. And then there's pre-exhaust. So pre-exhaust is where you would actually, so let's say on a bench press, there are assistant muscles. So the assistant movers are the triceps and the shoulders, help you with the movement, right? The largest muscle working is the chest, or the pectorals, but the triceps and the shoulders help a lot. So if you wanted to do it but get the most out of the chest, there are a couple of ways to do that. You could the main way to do it is you would pre-exhaust the triceps. So you do like a set of triceps extensions so that when you do the bench press, the triceps are already fatigued, so they're not going to assist as much with the movement. So if there's an exercise that has involvement from assistant movers, major involvement, then you fatigue the assistant movers so that the primary mover, you know, will do the work, you know. So that's another method. You could look it up too if you're not familiar with exactly what muscles work, then you can look up to see, you know, what exercise, what are the assistant movers, I just be safe, like, you know, I'd be a little careful with bench pressing, because, you know, you don't want to do a heavy bench press and then fatigue, you don't want to fatigue your triceps and then do a heavy bench press and not have a spotter there to help you.
Yeah.
So just be careful when you're doing something like that. But that's another method of changing things up, where you're kind of, you know, all of these kind of had the effect of just burning, you know, you get a little bit more of that like burning sensation in the muscles. You're just working a little bit more, you know, and just working hard, you know, a little bit harder.
Yeah. Well, one that I actually just thought of, seems simple but could actually be very effective, and it's changing your grip. So if you, let's say you do a squat with a certain grip, make it do a wide grip squat.
Yeah.
So you could try doing that. Or let's say everyone always does the bench press, you know, what's comfortable, make it wider, or
that'll change
narrow.
What
or do a push up instead of doing, you know, if you're always doing regular push up, do diamond push ups. It changes up to focus on your tricep, or a wide push up.
Yeah.
So you could always change the grip to which you're doing something, or you can change your seating. Mm-hmm. So let's say you do a lateral pull down. Always on the thing where you put your legs through it. Instead, bring the ball over and do the pull down sitting on the ball. Mm-hmm. It adds an element of core. Or do just anything on the core. Let's say you do military press with dumbbells. on regular on the seated thing that supports your back. Do it on the ball. Mm-hmm. That'll make it a whole different sort of thing. Now you have to work your core and you're focused on balancing yourself while doing the exercise.
I think that belongs more on the changing things up. It would be more about changing things up than like specifically for strength training, but those are great ideas. But you know what I mean?
I suppose, yeah.
Okay, but
similar.
So then the last thing, so negative. So now I'm not saying, so there you read all, not as much anymore. I think especially since it's more like the world is drifted more towards like the functional training. But focus on the negative part of your exercises just in general. So not necessarily like the negative style where you do way too heavy weight and then you just control it down and you need spotters and it kills the muscles. Like not that, but that whenever you do an exercise, control the movement.
Yeah.
So on the negative portion or the eccentric part, the part where gravity is overcoming you, don't just let the weight drop. Give it a 2 or 3 second control down. Just that change, without changing anything else in your workout, will make a difference. Just again, if you're doing a press, when you lower the bar, lower it at a 2 or 3 count, and you'll feel the difference right away. Because most people are way too fast on that negative part. And as you're controlling it down, you're decelerating. So the muscles have to work to decelerate. And if you just let the weight fly down, then you're losing a whole, like half of the exercise you're losing.
Sure.
By not controlling it. So just by focusing on the negative and not changing anything else, that's another way to enhance your strength
training. What about
training.
Just working on just the tempo in general, changing up your tempo?
Yeah, changing it up.
Maybe doing an exercise purposely fast.
Yeah.
Really
fast.
That
would be more in like if you're doing Tabata. So if you're doing something that is timed and for speed, then you're gonna neglect that. You almost want to take advantage of that the speed, you know, gravity allowing you to lower the weight fast. But otherwise, yeah, you can play with the tempo. We did a whole podcast episode on the tempo. So if you search for the tempo episode, we talk about that in detail. But yeah, that's it. So I mean, again, nothing too crazy. I'll try to list and put some links in the show notes to some of these ideas. But that's it. You know, so just some little ideas of how to change up your strength training routine to make things a little bit, you know, different. You know, in general, this is for people who are just, you know, you go to the gym and you work out and you want to change things up. Obviously, if you have a very specific goal, you know, some of these may work better than others, or none of these may work at all, depending on what your specific goal is. But if you're, you know, if you're someone who's regular in the gym and you do the normal, you know, single set, 3 sets of whatever exercise and go to the next thing and you want to change things up, these are some ideas of how to change things up and make things a little bit more interesting.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right. So I believe we have a question.
Oh, yes, we do. So what was the question?
The question is from Mac. And he says, "Hey, Ryan and Justin, I'm a big fan of the podcast and I love that you take the time to answer our questions. I've read conflicting things about staying in the fat-burning zone when doing cardio, and I want to know what your thoughts are on it and what is the best approach for someone like me who wants to lose weight. Thanks a lot and keep up the great work." Well, thank you, Mac, for writing in. We really appreciate your comments and questions.
Cool.
So it's funny. You do always see that on the cardio, fat burning zone, and then they give you the heart rate in the cardio zone. Do you buy into that whole thing?
It's technically true, but for most people, it's not going to matter too much. So basically what, you know, it has to do with your energy systems and how your body uses energy for fuel and what sources it takes from and how quickly it takes from. So basically, when it says the fat burning zone, it's you're referring to like the percentage of fat versus carbohydrates and versus protein that you're burning to use as fuel to produce the movement, right?
So it's something that has to do with time as well. So after 40 minutes or
exactly.
something, start burning fat because
exactly.
you burned your carbohydrates.
Yeah. So at a certain level, at a certain intensity level, or you know, of rate of RPEs, which is rate of perceived exertion, or your heart rate, or your certain level of your VO2 max, you're going to burn more, on average, more fat than you will anything else. So fat will be used more as fuel at a lower level. So when you see like the different things, like generally the fat burning zone is going to be at a lower heart rate level than the higher. So basically what it's saying is your body's using on average more fat for fuel than it is anything else.
To convert to calories to be burned.
Now, as you increase your intensity, that starts to shift. So the fat, you start using more of the your carbohydrate stores and less of the fat stores for energy. So the problem is that for most people, when your energy is energy, and what your intensity, it's more, start over. It's more important, the intensity of your work is more important than anything else. So you're going to make more progress doing the work at the higher intensity than you will at the lower intensity. So, and also you'll burn more.
If you do
at
the lower intensity, you have to do it for significantly amount more time.
And you're going
to
burn more overall calories at the higher intensity. So you'll still burn more fat. So if you were, you know, you're just going to be burning a higher percentage from your glycogen stores. So there's that, like, the thing they don't mention is, like, you're still burning more overall calories and you're burning more fat and you're getting more fit. And then this goes into, like, the kind of misconception of kind of doing cardio for weight loss. So at the end of the day, no matter how much cardio you do, you can eat back those calories easily.
In an instant, yes. You could run for 2 hours and a slice of pizza, say goodbye.
Doing lots of exercise will help you burn calories, but your focus when you're doing your cardio shouldn't be so much on the weight loss as much as it should be on how it's increasing your cardiovascular capacity, how it's increasing your VO2 max, which is your body's ability to extract oxygen, how it's increasing your strength, how you're increasing your flexibility, how you're strengthening the joints and your mobility. And so there are all these variables, all these factors that you're improving by working out. But the weight loss, that's mostly diet. And yes, it's affected somewhat by exercise, but exercising and just staying in the fat burning zone because you think you're going to burn more fat is not going to be effective. So what I would say is, assuming you're healthy and there aren't any medical conditions and you're clear to do it, you want to focus on keeping your intensity high and working at, you know, if you're doing a 40-minute run and you can get your heart rate at, you know, 70% or, you know, 75%, which is going to be outside of the fat burning zone, then you should be there, not in the fat burning zone, because you're going to burn fewer overall calories. And while you may, while the percentages may work to being a higher percentage of fat, you're not going to be as fit as you would be if you're working at the higher intensity level.
We might also recommend to add some resistance training
routine. That's a separate thing. So I like
for losing weight.
Like, as far as just answering the question,
okay,
just focused on the cardio. Yeah, obviously you do want to do resistance training, and that's an important, that should be an important part of your workout. But just that, you know, there is this kind of misconception that
you could just stay in the fat burning zone and you're gonna burn your fat.
And the other thing is, it's nice to hear, because, like, oh, that's not too hard. I can do 40 minutes at 60% of my, you know, maximum heart rate. That's easy. Where, you know, 70, 75, that's, you're working. You can still do it, but it's working. So it kind of mentally makes you, it's like, you don't have to do as much work, but, you know, you should be. So I would ignore that and really do what you can, what you're capable of doing. And, you know, again, I don't know how long you're running for. If it's a 20-minute run, you're going to want to be, you know, probably higher up in that fat burning, I mean, in the, you know, it, where you, compared to your maximum heart rate. If you're doing an hour run, then you're going to be a little bit lower. But, you know, the intensity to me is going to be more valuable and more effective in the long run than staying in that zone. And again, if you want to lose weight, then you lose weight by eating properly, not only by your cardio.
All right,
I think that's it. All right. Yep. As usual, all of our stuff is at thegymwits.com, all of our social media. You can find us there. If you haven't liked us on the various platforms, do that. Download the app if you haven't done that. And that is it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Gill, aka Chef Song.
We are the Gymwits.